podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Shackles Are Off podcast. Ashes fever has swept the nation and now everybody is a little bit down, aren't they, I think. Not because of the way it finished, I've got to say, but Chris Millard, there's nothing better than when an Ashes series is on. It's almost like, what do you do with yourself when it finishes? That's kind of how I feel. I'm not sure about you, mate.
It is. It's like, the ending was great in some ways, but then a missed opportunity in other ways. It has been a little bit like, oh, August has come, the height of the summer, the bad weather from July is hopefully coming to an end, and there's no Test cricket. Oh, there's no England cricket at all, actually. Yeah, fantastic. What should we all do in August then? Go and watch the 100? Well, that's an acquired taste, isn't it? I think it's fair to say. On a bit of a downer for August. The Ashes is over, as you'll hear from the wonderful podcast we just recorded. I think the players are feeling the same way a little bit. They wish they had one more test.
I think so. Interesting, actually. I mean, the 100, I'm with you, mate, I'm afraid. I think when it first happened, 3 years ago now, me and you were kind of keeping a bit of an open mind to it. And I'm happy to say it. I said it to you not too many weeks ago, actually, about the IPL. And it's clearly a brilliant product, the IPL. And the players love going because it's just, I mean, they get treated like kings. But the 100, I just can't get on board with it. Again, I can't find myself supporting the Northern Superchargers or the Oval Invincibles. I just can't get behind it. And that's not, I don't think it's completely crap. Just my own personal opinion. No interest really in it at all. And some of the clips and stuff you see on social media, you go, wow, that's great cricket or whatever. But no, not for me. So, yeah, massive cricket come down. Massive. But, to be fair, the final day of Test cricket this summer, you and I at the Oval, it was absolutely rocking. At one point, it started hosing it down. We didn't think it was going to get done. We thought this is going to typify the English cricketing summer, really, isn't it? With England sort of trying to skittle through the Aussies. And, well, it didn't turn out like that. It was a brilliant, brilliant ending. And we're going to talk about it with Mark Wood, our guest on this podcast shortly. But how good was that? Me and you haven't even spoken about it since, have we? Like, even just on the podcast. Fantastic.
A great day out. And I think it's the fair result as well by the end of it. It was just the perfect swan song. We didn't know if we were going to get a full day in. It was like very typical of the last few test matches. A bit of rain about, a bit of uncertainty. And then for the England lads to come out in that final session and for Brodie to bowl the way he did, going out at the top of the game, I know we mentioned it in the podcast, but going out on a six and a wicket, like, it was almost written in the stars, wasn't it? We were chatting about throughout the whole game, what would you like to see happen today? Obviously, England to win and Brodie to take the last wicket. It happened. It was beautiful. It was magical. It was sensational. The only thing was that bloody Manchester rain. I know we need to move on from, but in my eyes, it's 3-2.
You were wandering around the Oval. Obviously, we were taking selfies, like I was there moments kind of stuff. And some of the captions you were putting on social media was like, England have won the Ashes. England have won the moral Ashes. I was like, oh, my. But actually, it does feel like that. It does feel like that. I know it doesn't to the players because they just gutted. But it is what it is, isn't it? I think everybody enjoyed it. That's the key thing. You know, at the end of the day, everybody loved watching the Ashes series and people were just completely and utterly obsessed with it. And that was on the previous podcast when we had a little moan about the weather and the way that the rules are and they're archaic and they could start earlier. And I was comparing it to golf and saying we could start at 7 in the morning and we were both getting a bit irate about it. Actually, and I think the whole point of that was is because I felt it was just such a shame for cricket. Mm-hmm. I thought this is a massive opportunity that has been taken away from the game of cricket because of some rain in Manchester. I mean, how daft is that? Like, it could shape the next 10 years. And I was getting a bit dramatic about it. But actually, then having gone to the Oval and seen that grand finale for Broadie, and I think a lot of those concerns of mine probably disappeared. So,
really?
Yeah, I think so. I think because so many people bought into it, and it was absolutely everywhere. It was all over the back pages. It was all over all the sports websites. It was on the front page of a lot of the Tuesday morning newspapers as well. You know, photos of Broadie walking off the field and holding the ball and the celebrations. So actually you go, you know what, that when it cuts through and it ends up on the front page and not just the back page, I think...
It means something.
Yeah, I think so. Particularly in this day and age when there's so much crap news about. So it's, I think that's, really nice. I think the concerns were gone. So, yeah, we have Mark Wood on the podcast. I'm sure that you probably worked that out by now. I think we mentioned it twice already in this little intro. But Mark Wood has been good enough to give us a little bit of his time. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I actually don't know which bit to even kind of tease ahead to. So just listen to it, because isn't it? How funny is he? And he's just so naturally amusing, but gives some really nice, thoughtful answers as well. I mean, brilliant. You'll really enjoy listening to this, people.
He is. He's just got this wicked way of being a fabulous storyteller. I mean, when he's done playing cricket, I hope he doesn't go into coaching. I hope he goes into stand-up and just tells stories about his career. I think that he's definitely got enough. He's got enough from the last few test matches, never mind his whole career. So, no, I'm sure everyone who's going to listen to this podcast will thoroughly enjoy it. And like you said, there's so many moments in there. As you're introing it there, I'm just chuckling away. About some of the stories he mentioned. Can you imagine sharing a dressing room with him? It must be so much fun.
Unbelievable. I was trying to explain to my girlfriend yesterday, who we were speaking to on the podcast. I'm saying, right, we're speaking to Mark Wood, you know, plays for England. He's, you know, really, really great. Everybody loves him. Da, da, da. And she's going, okay. And I was like, right, I'll tell you what. So I end up getting up my phone out, and I'm typing in Mark Wood funny moments and stuff. And we end up sitting there for about half an hour just watching videos of him dicking around in press conferences or on the field when they take the huddle in the West Indies and he's on the other side of the field already at fine leg. And just loads of different things. He's so, so good. Such good value and a really, really genuinely, genuinely nice fella as well. I'm sure that comes across anyway if you never really heard a long chat with him before. Chris, when can England fans who are feeling a little bit like us get their next little injection of cricket and goodness? Because the Barmy Army will be able to provide you with that cricketing fix.
We can. We've still got some ODIs in September. We've got some ODIs and T20s happening. It's quite a chock-a-block schedule from early September to late September. So that'll be good. There's games in Durham, there's one in Manchester, there's one at Trent Bridge, there's a couple down south. There's a good spread of games as well. So, and we've still got tickets available on barmyarmy.com for those games. Be good to see as many faces there possible. However, for a Barmy Army experience, you've got to look ahead to this winter, and where better than Sri Lanka? We've got the Fans World Cup happening in Sri Lanka, which is just going to be in line with the World Cup. We're just about to finalise the date. We're potentially looking at doing it as a watch-along, including the World Cup final. That's what we're working on at the minute. So 4 to 7 night trip in Sri Lanka, very reasonably priced. All thanks of Sri Lanka Airlines, our partner, who you've flown with before, Greggy, and I'm sure you'll speak very highly of them. But they've been great partners of ours for many, many years, and they've extended that partnership, trying to get some cricket back in Sri Lanka in line with what's happening over in India. I just can't wait to get back and have a Lion Lager.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot about that. I was trying to rack my brain. I was thinking, what is it? What is the lager there? We had a great party there, didn't we? Lion Lager did a big party in Kandy. It was fantastic. Yeah, that was great. They laid out all the Barmy Army stash and everything. They had all these like little flags, and it was great. It sounds crap now, I'm not explaining it, but it was really, really good, that party, wasn't it?
Now we are also going to the actual World Cup. So we've got packages on sale at the minute for the ICC Men's World Cup in October, November. We've got some really cool packaging, some best parts of India as well. So check out barmyarmy.com to see what packages we've got left. They are selling fast, so be quick if you want to be on that tour to watch England regain the World Cup and watch the man we're about to interview become man of the series after bowling over India in the final. That's my prediction. There you go.
Good prediction, actually. Good prediction. Great, great tours to be a part of. And like we've said, when it's getting a bit miserable in wintertime and you've been missing the cricket for a good few months at that stage. What a great place to go that will be. What an experience, once in a lifetime, really. So yeah, do check that out, barmyarmy.com. Right, Chris, any other business before we get into Mark Wood? I'm sure that the listeners are, you know, no, you're all right. You've not got anything else you want to get off your chest? Laws of cricket, no?
Not this week, mate. Give me another week to think about it.
We will be back with some more episodes as well. Look, all cards on the table. We don't know exactly who we're going to get on, but we promise that we'll be trying our best to make the podcast experience just as good as everything else that we do at the Barmy Army. So, right, we're going to get into it. Hey, you like that, don't you? There you go. That's why you pay me the big bucks. Right, Mark Wood, our guest on the Shackles of Our Podcast. It is well worth a listen. So whatever you're doing, put it down, sit down, soak it in. Mark Wood on the Shackles of Our Podcast. Woody, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, mate. Congrats on a great series as well. You look like you really enjoyed it.
I did. I was frustrated I couldn't get in earlier. I think the Lord's game, they were wanting me to play that game, but my elbow was just... I could have started the game without a doubt, but they were a bit unsure and they were asking me, look, can you, by the time the second innings comes round, how do you think you're going to feel? I said, well, I can't give you that answer. Mm. So Stokesy was like, look, we're going to give it an extra week. And by the time I got to Henley, I was literally chomping at the bit to get in the team and trying to make something happen. So I was really pleased with how I started. I think like that first spell, to get the wicket right at the Khawaja right at the end of the first spell was, really pleasing. And it settled me into the game and... I'm pleased that I can make an impact. I think I was actually probably more buzzing on that game than the fact I hit a couple of sixes more than anyone else. But great to be back with Wokesy as well and share that moment with him. And that's something that we still talk about, like, even now. And I'm hoping, like, in 10 years' time, we can remember the Henley game and we're in there at the end. And love, great moment for the two.
That was class, wasn't it? Chris, you were there, weren't you, for the Henley test? I mean... Unreal. Headingly special, though, isn't it, really, in many ways? Like, it's such a, like, awesome atmosphere. And to be there at the end, I mean, fantastic, fantastic. It's like the spiritual home that an Edgbaston, I suppose.
I think it's iconic as well because of the history that's been there. You think of Bob Willis running down the hill. That was actually in the back of my mind, obviously, going back there and thinking of fastballers charging down that hill. The other end, I'm not a big fan of, but Wokesy bowled really well there, so we'll complement each other well. It's a shame that, in a few years' time, there's going to be no tests in the north, because I really, Henley is a ground, especially when we're batting together, sometimes you can get a bit like, sort of like in the zone that you blank everything out around you. But yeah. I remember when I hit the six off Cummins, I remember feeling so loud, like the atmosphere and like the cheer of when it, because obviously, me as the batter, I've got that split second where I think, that's six. Like, you've got it. Yeah. And then the crowd roar after. And I was like, this is awesome. But, like, inside, you're like, play cool. It's absolutely fine. You've done this before. This is normal. But inside, I was like, this is awesome.
We were all thinking the same as you, mate. We were all like, this is awesome. What were you, just before you went into bat there, what were you doing? What were you thinking? I reckon I was probably more nervous than you.
Absolutely, you were not. I think a few things go through your mind. Obviously, the Ashes is on the line, so that's the big thing. I think, don't mess up. If you mess up, the Ashes is gone. Australia have won the series. The next thing, of course, I'm thinking, right, if Brooke, because the trouble was with Brookie in, I didn't know what to do. With Wokesy, it was easy because I thought, well, I'll just play my normal game. Wokesy will back it. But with Brooke, I was thinking, well, I'm going to have to try and bat normal. It's mega fast. Like, a dong is in the head. One's about, like, my helmet flies off. It lands on the stump. So I'm laid out bare in front of the whole head of the crowd. These thoughts are flying through my mind. But then when Brookie got out, it was much easier for me then to just be clear, right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and take it on with Wokesy and see if we can get over the line. And I remember that was a great moment that me and Brody still talk about now. So in the dressing room in Henley, you have a little viewing area. There's the balcony, a little viewing area where it's like tiny windows, and then you drop down into the dressing room. And from the viewing area, I couldn't stand still. I never sat in a chair. Rudy was doing his back, sanding his back down. So he seemed really calm, but I was thinking, well, he's obviously doing that because he's a bit nervous. The sound of the sound of the bat was making me even worse because I was thinking it sounds like nicking noises all the time. I was like, I'm thinking he's nicked it. So I walked down the steps. I think, right, it's just, it's in the over. I'm just going to clear my mind. I'll walk down the steps, and I walked into the room, and Brody had his full pads on, not looking at anything on TV, just staring at the floor in all of his kit. And I sort of like looked at him. We both crossed eyes without like blinking or without any emotion. And I think he was a bit nervous and didn't know what to say. So he just put his hands up and went, I've got chalk on my hands. And I was sort of like, okay. So we just didn't, I think it was one of those awkward moments where we just didn't know what to say to each other because we were both obviously really nervous, like breaking it. And he just put his hands up and went, I've got chalk on my hands. I was like, right, I'm going to go back and watch the cricket, and just left him in there. So watch God knows how he's feeling. Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Have you thought about a career in sports psychology after you finish, Woody?
Well, I didn't know what to say to him. I was a bit like, right. I obviously knew he was saying it because he was nervous, but I didn't know whether to reply with, I've got no chalk on my hands. And just walk out the room.
Oh my God, that is so, so good. Oh dear. Actually, those are the moments, aren't they, that when you go, you know, like you say, in 10 years' time, you'll remember stuff like that clear as day, won't you?
Mm.
So yeah. Good.
And it never gets any easier. Like, I actually enjoy batting, but I also hate it at the same time. I think it's that bit where you're waiting, the dread, that feeling. Like, when you're saying that you felt horrendous, like, it's that dreaded feeling, I think, of letting people down or not getting... I mean, that's the first time I've been on the field. I've been on the field a couple of times when we've lost and I've had to shake hands. And that's the first time I've actually been not bowling, but like batting on the field where we've getting over the line. And that was, you know, an amazing feeling. I knew Wokes was going to hit that ball for four. I just got a feeling that when he was on strike and when he'd want to win, I thought, he's whacking this. I just had that feeling straight away. That was a lovely moment for me and him.
He is such a good cricketer as well, isn't he, Chris Wokes? Like, so, so good. And actually, I think because he's such a nice fella, isn't he? And you obviously got on great with him. But I think because he's so nice and he doesn't do all the kind of the razzmatazz and whatever, and there's not, because he's such a normal bloke, he doesn't perhaps get the credit he deserves, I don't think. Because he's just, but he delivers every single time for England. And that was like case in point, I thought.
I totally agree. I think he's dependable. I think that's the thing about Wokes. He, whether it's, you know, bowling or batting or even in the field, like, he's dependable. He's solid. He's, you know, he's just an all round good cricketer. It's not like one thing where you think, oh, he's a bit weak here. Like, he's just someone you can rely on. And I think the captain, you know, loves that. And I think within the dressing room, I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying. But in the dressing room, he's, you know, the lads know how much value he brings and how good a cricketer he is. And I think. The only thing that I would say about Wokesy as a cricketer is that sometimes he's been, you know, harshly done by, where he's left out the team. So, but every time he's in the team, he gives his best for England every time, wants to, you know, he's not a big, like, doesn't make like a big song and dance about it, does he? Just gets on with his job and delivers when England need him. So, great player to play with. I'm not in a relationship with Chris Wokes. I can't confirm that. I mean, after the Henley game, there was all these things about we're holding hands on the plane and stuff like that. And I am good friends, but I just like to say that we're very much happy in our marriages and that we'll not be getting together anytime soon.
I'm glad that's on the point. Record.
It's a good point now, Woody. It's a really good point because I actually don't know an England fan or an English sports fan that doesn't fancy Chris Wokes. So every time he plays, more people fall in love with him. Is that the same case in the dressing room?
Absolutely. David Taker just keeps calling him the beautiful man rather than Chris Wokes' fast bowler. He just says, great bowling, beautiful man. That's all he keeps saying. So I think the feeling's very much mutual in everywhere you go.
It was popular, actually. We did that Barmy bingo event. You might have seen it on social media, Woody. And we were giving away cardboard cutouts. So over the course of the series, we probably gave away cutouts of, I think we had Owen Morgan, Jimmy Anderson, Stokesy, all the usual suspects. The Stokesy one was hilarious, by the way. It was a cardboard cutout of him from the book signing, wasn't it, Chris? It was literally him holding his autobiography. But yeah, the Chris Wokes one was very popular. In fact, the last one at the Oval, there was people like, please, can we have the Chris Wokes one? And people trying to swap theirs. And I can't, yeah, you crack on. You do you. We'll talk about Brodie in a bit, obviously. But just looking at that bowling attack, I mean, there's you, Wokesy, Jimmy, Josh Tong, Ollie Robinson, Matt Fisher, Saqib Mahmood, Matt Potts, Ollie Stone, Sam Curran, probably a few of the names I've missed out as well. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches, really, going forwards, right?
Yeah, I think the future looks bright in terms of, I mean, England, I think, historically, have always had good fast bowlers. I think the fact that you're propped up by Jimmy and Brodie for years, for someone like Wokesy, probably if he didn't have the two greatest bowlers in the game, he'd have played a lot more. And that just tells you how good of attack we've had for a long period of time. I think back to even, when Finney burst on the scene, he was, tearing it up as well. So I think for a long time, we've always had people that can step in. And now, I think when you're wanting all bases covered, whether it's swing, seam, pace, left arm, I think England have got every one. So if we go to different conditions or different places, I mean, to win, even in spinning conditions, we've got lads that can turn the ball. Leachie obviously spin away from the bat. We've got lads that can spin into the bat. So the win in Pakistan, Sri Lanka, these places, we've got ball and depth there that I think if there is even an injury or someone not available, that anybody can come in. I think the fact that we've got that, I think, actually pushes everyone to be better because no one's standing still, because they know if you're not performing, there's a line of guys behind you who are ready to step up. So it's great that the coaching staff, I think, they sort of have this sort of like loyalty and the breed sort of like confidence in you, even if you're not in the team. So even when I was in the team, that first game at Edgbaston, McCullum sort of said to me, you've got a big impact to come this series. Like, make sure you're still ready, be ready. So actually, even when you're not in the team, you still feel like you're ready to contribute or you're ready when they need you. And I think all the other lads that haven't played, they'll still feel that. And everybody wants to be a part of this sort of era of, Stokes and McCullum, which is obviously taken off.
Yeah, so, so good, isn't it? Chris, from a fan's perspective. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say, when you did make that impact, we've already touched on it a little bit, but I remember watching that thinking, wow, either like you've had a load of jelly babies before you went out or something's happened. You've got a lot of pent-up energy there. Is that one of the quickest first spells you've bowled?
I was asked this on interview and I think I didn't feel... like I've watched it back since and there is... It is a sharp spell, but at the time I didn't feel... I felt it was more the swing that was...
Yeah,
that was helping us at the time, rather than just out and out pace. I think there's been difference in the games where I've been able to move the ball or like just nip it a little bit or something. Whereas when it's been dead straight, it doesn't matter if it's fast. The best players play that fine. You think of like dog sticks, coaches getting closer, the amount of body armor you can wear now. The best players in the world aren't. I don't think it bothers them as much nowadays. That's just my personal feeling. But I felt the reason I've felt threatened there was because I was able to move the ball. So if I move at a pace, it probably feels quicker anyway. So it was one of the better spells I think I've bowled, trying to set people up by being sort of like back of a length, then pushing that one that swings right up there. I tried to get Labuschagne a couple of times and unfortunately he either like blocked it to mid-off or he played and missed. But I was happy overall with that. I think it was just trying to bring some energy to the group, charging in, trying to give it absolutely everything I got. I mean, I hit the deck more times than any other ball in the history of the game, I think, but just trying to give it absolutely everything I've got and bring that energy to the crowd, to the team, make Australia feel like they're in a real battle. And that's all I tried to do that first spell. And I was really pleased that I could come in and try and sort of lift the occasion like that.
What is the fastest that you've felt? When it's coming out of your hand, like pinpoint it for us. There must be one that sticks in your mind, a spell where you've gone, that was absolute rocket.
I think St. Lucia, the first five, I think because I'd always felt like I had a point to prove that I was never really living up to what people expected us to do. And in that spell, sometimes you can get on the field for England and you feel under pressure to take weight or anything out. But that, I remember just that spell in particular, I didn't even think of anything. I remember I felt so like free and loosened and weightless, and you just feel like you just got such a spring in your step, and that you're running in, you're hardly running. And I remember a couple of times Rudy moved the field and I didn't even notice. And literally my focus was just, I could see the batter, I could see the stumps, and I was just bowling as quick as I could. And I remember that spell was probably the one where I think that's as good as I felt in terms of just letting the ball fly out of my hand and almost knowing exactly where it was going to go as soon as I left my fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Now, just breaking away from the podcast very quickly, because Chris, I want to just flag the fact that our friends at Sri Lanka Airlines have been kind enough to sponsor this podcast once again. And they are a brilliant airline. But why should we be using them, Chris? What have you got coming up with Sri Lanka Airlines that actually might be a big help?
We love Sri Lanka as a nation, the Barmy Army, and we love Sri Lanka Airlines as a partner, being a partner of ours since 2013. Ever since I've been at the company, we've always been in partnership with them in some capacity. So they've really helped us along the way. And they've extended that once more. We've got the Fans World Cup happening there in November time, which is going to be a fantastic experience where players, if you want to play, get to play at Gulfport. Watch potentially the World Cup final with like-minded fans and stay in a five-star hotel for 4 to 7 nights. And it's going to be really, really affordable. We're working to just finalise the package with Sri Lanka Airlines at the minute, but they've been kind enough to sponsor the packages for that and this podcast. But we're looking forward to going back to Sri Lanka just after the actual World Cup. So it's going to be a great experience with everyone back in Sri Lanka, enjoying the wonderful festivities and the hospitality of the gorgeous country, especially Goa is where we'll be.
Amazing. It is one of the best places that you can go and visit in anything to do with cricket. Just my opinion. Also Chris's opinion. Also the opinion of many. But Sri Lanka Airlines, thank you very much. Definitely be sure to check that one out. Now back to the podcast. You were talking about getting the crowd going as well when you are bowling a fast spell like you did. Like you have done all series, to be fair, since you came in. The Aussies, do you feel that they, I don't know, do you feel like they get a bit of a sense of when the English crowd's getting excited? Do you feel like it's suffocating them a little bit?
I think it's got to, because, you know, at times when the crowd's up and stuff like, you know, even as an English player, I know how it affects me, and that, you know, it gives me an extra boost. I'm then running in harder. You know, I'm thinking, right, the crowd's like, whoa, and this body thinking, right, come on here, and I'm revving it up because it actually, so if you think of that all the way around, it must make you, you know, a little bit tense or a little bit apprehensive maybe to get into the ball or something like that. I mean, there's some players who, you know, would be a bit, thrive in that situation. I think Stokesy, for example, I think he likes that, backs up against the wall, like everyone's, I think he plays better like that. But Johnny as well, when he's under criticism or, he's in the lines day, and I actually think that brings the best out of him. But I think Australia in general, you know, I'm just thinking of some of the characters. Khawaja's quite a calm character, so I doubt that he seems to be in his own little bubble when he's batting and not much bothers him. But I'm sure that's the Henley crowd must have affected, you know, Carey a little bit. I mean, after the Lords incident, you know, he had that many people shouting purely at him. I mean, I think if that had just like been me, how much that, you know, you're trying, as much as you can block it out, there's no way you can block that amount of noise out. So I'm sure that must have been tough for him.
Yeah. I was watching something on Brodie actually the other day, and he was saying that when he's had stick down in Australia or whatever, he said if he kind of was listening to them calling him or whatever, he would, if it was en masse, he was all right. But he said as soon as he started looking into the crowd and seeing individual people doing it, that's when it really started getting to him. He said naturally he just sort of tried to see the funny side and got back in his hotel room. By the end of the night, he was actually singing the songs that they were singing to him, to himself. That's one way of dealing with it.
I think when I've gone to Australia in the crowd, like when you first get this, because I obviously am fight leg a lot. When you first get the fight leg, it's just like a volley. So it's just like you actually think that it would be bad, but it's so like, rah, 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 rah. You can't actually get anything because it's just with 50 people screaming at you. So it's just noise. It's like a cackle. And yeah. I sort of imagine what it would probably be like for like a Premier League goalkeeper. When a goalkeeper goes in front of a Premier League game and there's thousands of people, you're not hearing a thing. But then when you play the non-league game and there's five people in the front row, you hear that one bloke the whole time. Oh, yeah, this, yeah, that. And you're like, oh, God, this guy's doing my head. So it's probably a bit like that. Whereas, you know, if there's one Aussie guy who's giving you a stick and the rest of them are quiet, you're probably picking up on it. But when they're all going at you, it's just...
Happy days.
So you're just like, oh, I'll just deal with this. No point trying to fight it.
So what you're saying is next time you go to, I don't know, the Gabba or whatever, you've got to just...
Encourage you. Give it to me. All of you, give it to me.
All at once.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you think about the noise affecting players, but I think with the Barmy Army and certainly Edgbaston in particular, and Henley as well, I think because the English sort of have a witty sort of way of doing it and songs and things like that, I think it actually comes across quite well. I've never really had a witty song yet from an Australian when I've gone to the Gabba or anything like that. It's just sort of telling them, they just sort of tell us how good they think I am, which isn't very good according to them. But Nathan Lyon, he was on your side to start with at the Hollies, and I noticed second innings he'd gone to the other side.
He bottled it, didn't he?
It's just pure like the songs, and eventually he's just like he got home and I was like, I can't, I've had enough of this. Travis Head, you get on that side, second and I'm having that side.
In fairness to Travis Head, he absolutely embraced it. At every interval, he came sprinting over, and he was almost like he got the respect of the crowd by the end of the day because he was like embracing it. But I'd hate to be Warner or Smith coming to the Hollies. Like I know they come over for a half an hour now and then, but they do cop it.
I thought Nathan Lyon actually got a good there was a whole session where every time you went there, that same song was being sung with comparing him to Mo and Ali. And to be fair, you stuck at it well. I thought at one point you might get sick, but you stuck at it every time you worked on.
What a polite way to put that song, comparing him to Mo and Ali.
Comparing him. It's good. Going back to Brody then. Chris and I were there on Monday. In fact, we saw you, didn't we, in the dressing room afterwards. That was nice. But they, I mean, you talk about knowing that Wokesy was going to crash that one for four at Headingley. We knew. You just knew that he was going to take those final couple of poles, didn't you, at the Oval? Like, you just got that feeling. I know it's easy to say it in after timing, but you just knew, would he?
I was pleading with him to get him because Stokesy told me to warm up about five times. and I was like, come on, this is the script. Brody, this is your script. Stop doing this to me. I don't want this. You're the man to do this. I had a bit of a bruised heel on the outside of my foot. And, you know, I was thinking, Brody, please, for the sake of me and my bruised heel, just get these last two wickets, get the win, and we can get off this field. And, you know, the script couldn't have been any better for him, I think. As soon as the thing for me was the Bale change, because there is no way. I mean, I sort of get it. Oh, it's a bit like of a coincidence the first time he did it when Labuschagne and Rooney took that great catch. But when he was bowling, he chid, and then the very next ball again. I mean, that is just spooky, right?
That's
just me.
Are you guys going to carry that on, by the way? Are you going to, now he's...
No, he's got the magic spooky touch. I mean, I'm staying well away from anything like that. I mean, I want to go to bed tonight with a full night's sleep. I don't know what he's doing tonight. Some voodoo trick he's got going on in the hotel room. But let me tell you, I'm late at 11 and I want that full 8 hours. So he can do whatever he wants with any bills or how he wants, but I'm going straight to sleep. I don't want any of this voodoo stuff. If you're listening, I don't want any of it. No bills, nothing.
Quality.
I was spooky, mate, but I'm so pleased for him that he got that moment, you know, to have the career he's had, and you know, sign off like that, and in front of his home crowd, and the biggest series one that he's, you know, thrived in over the years. It was quite emotional, really. I mean, the only thing that was different for me is I was in fine leg. To obviously both left-handers. When he got the wicket, he took off towards sort of mid-off and long-off. So that was the furthest point away from me. And on my way to celebrate with Brody, I crossed Johnny Bairstow, who was the man who took the catch, who was throwing the ball up in the air and then caught it. And when we got the last wicket, obviously everyone's going mental and celebrating with Brody, apart from Johnny. Johnny's on my sort of path. and Johnny was punching the air towards the Australian fans in the corner. I was like, come on, Johnny, let's just cancel. I'm trying to grab them. Leave them. It's all right. He sort of like fist pumping the air towards their whole section.
Legend.
But that's what, that, you know, that last sort of bit for him, I'm sure that, you know, it'll live on, you know, as long as he can remember to say that he hit his last ball for six and got a wicket.
Took a wicket.
I mean, he's got to tell everybody that till the end of time, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you would do that, wouldn't you, to be fair? So cool.
Completed it, Annie. Just completed Test cricket. Thanks for coming. What's next?
Yeah, it'll be good. He's one of those one of those people, though, and he'll be good at whatever he does, though, annoyingly. But yeah,
100%. Woody, were you surprised when he told you?
I was, because he told us in such a blasé way. We were sat in the bus, got to the ground before he told all the players. I think he must have told Jimmy Stokesy and Rooty by that point. And I sit at the very back of the bus on the right side, and he sits on the very back of the bus at the left side. So as we were getting off, he just turned around and he went, cheers, that's me done. And I was just like shook his hand, and he said another couple of like really nice words, but that was how he started it. It was just, and then cheers, I'm done. And then he said a couple of nice words. I was just a bit like, I remember I kept saying, are you taking a piss? Are you joking? Like thinking like, this isn't funny. Like I didn't get the punchline here. Like what? And I must have said that three or four times. Of, are you joking? You're taking the piss, aren't you? And he just is just like, no. Honestly, I'm done. I just didn't. Obviously, with him and Jimmy, they've played for so long, and I know they have to answer questions on it all the time. But I just never. You just never see it coming, or you never think of it, because they're just. It's not like they're not performing or anything. You know what I mean? So, it was a bit of a shock to me, to be honest, when he said that. So I understand that he wants to go out at the top in the biggest series. You know, what's the next mountain for him to climb, that he's getting 600? He's played the Ashes. Like, is he going to make it down under? He's got a young family now. There's loads of reasons you could put together to say, look, I understand. But I was still shocked when he told us. A little bit sad, to be honest, because, like, you know, you play for so long with these people in the dressing room, you get to know them. You get to know how special it is to play on the field with them as a fellow fast bowler. You know, you get in the trenches with each other when it's hard, when it's difficult, when there's not much happening, you know, talking, trying things. Ultra respect there, you know, as him as a cricketer. And Missy's little stuff on like Football Manager, the nervousness we've both got before we're back. There's millions of things I could go through with Brody. I mean, thinking of India when we're rooming right next to each other, and I could hear the walls were that thin, I could hear every conversation he was having. Including one video that one that goes, it's Friday then. He did that every Friday we were in India, and I could hear it through the wall every Friday. I actually got to the point where I wake one Friday thinking, is he going to play that song? Just so I can hear him play it. So loads of great memories on.
That's awesome. Class. That's so good. It was a great, just an unbelievable way to kind of finish things off. You know what, though? I mean, Chris and I, on the last podcast we did, we had quite a cathartic experience. We basically just whinged about the weather for about 20 minutes and how annoying it was and rules of cricket and God knows whatever. I mean, actually, I actually listened to it back the other day, Chris, and I thought, geez, we were angry. you guys didn't come across like that, though. I mean, obviously, you would have been gutted. Like, you don't even, you know, it goes without saying. But it kind of... You know, I know they're taking the... Well, they're not taking the urn back with them. They're taking the replica urn back with them. But you know what I mean? They retain the Ashes and all that. But it perhaps doesn't... I mean, it doesn't feel like that to me. It doesn't feel like that to Chris. It certainly didn't feel like that on Monday. For you guys, I mean, you couldn't have really done anything else there, could you?
I think we maybe could have started better, but that's not the sort of way that the team think. You know, Stokes and McCullum is never to regret or look back. It's always about looking forward. When we were 2-0 down, we knew that we had to win the last three games. I'm pretty sure if the weather hadn't have come, you know, those last three games would have been wins for England. So it's a shame that the weather did come across, but that's part of the game. You know, it kind of helped the weather. Kind of can't do anything about it. We played a great game up until that moment. You know, there's been times where certainly I've been playing for England. I've prayed for weather myself and we're up against it. And you're doing rain dances in the dressing room and you know, opening your curtains at 40 degree heat thinking, please just one drop of rain, like give away a session break or anything like that to try and help the game. So it's part and parcel of what happens. And, you know, I think when I look at the series, the score could have been so different. You know, we could have ended up being 4-1 winners. We could have won 5-0. Now, Australia will say that they had moments where they could have pipped it. So I think looking through England sort of rose-tinted glasses, I think a lot of the games we dictated the play, or we felt we dictated the play. Australia hung on in there. They obviously did well. They're a fantastic side. But I think, like, overall in the series, the feeling from our camp was that we played some great cricket and dictated the games. And if we maybe, you know, things had gone slightly differently, again, not looking back, because that's not what the captain wants to do, but if we'd done things maybe slightly different, then the result might have been totally different altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely would.
Not just slightly different. I'm not talking about the weather in winning 3-2. I'm talking about if things are slightly different, edge basting, you know, if that Stokes catch is a centimetre lower, you know, or if if it loads, we get away with one hits the gap instead of, I mean, that's cricket in general, but it could easily have been, you know, 4-0 or 4-1 or 5-0. Like, these are just the fine margins of the game.
It was like game-defining moment after game-defining moment, wasn't it? But I mean, look, it was awesome. We absolutely loved it. So, you know, as fans, as watchers, I mean, how much did we love it, Chris? It like genuinely swept the nation. I know that you guys, you get a bit of a sense of that, but actually, you know, you're kind of in your bubble, you're doing your own thing and you know.
No, I agree with you. I've had random people on the street and I never normally get bothered. And I've had random people on the street saying how good it was and how much they enjoyed it. And people saying because they've never watched cricket and they've been right into it. So I totally agree with you in that sense, and that it seems to have been hyped more than previously, or more than, I mean, sometimes when I've played for England or even a big one day stuff and 2020 and stuff, you might get the odd person, but this felt like this summer, it was like literally everywhere we went, those people stopped and went to say good luck or what a great game or well done or how much they're enjoying the series and things like that. So I definitely have felt it more this series than previously.
Yeah.
You could tell it just had that sense of 05 again, just that crazy sense of like the nation was swept by it. No other major sporting competition going on at the time, front page, back page. Oh, it was great, really, really good experience.
I think from an appetite point of view, Australia weren't satisfied. I know they've getting the urn, but they didn't over celebrate the end. We weren't satisfied because we were like, oh, we were so close. We felt like we've done this and done that. Like we've, you know, dominated a couple of games. We felt like we should have it. So I don't think either team really has left it feeling that satisfied. I think both teams will feel they could have won or they could have done more. It's sort of like you just want, like we were like, right, well, more games, we want more matches. Like, let's go, like, let's keep it going. Like, there's loads of the summer left. Let's just keep playing. So I think both teams just sort of felt like probably one not more. Fully into it. Like Australia, like, lifted the urn, and but there wasn't like a massive over celebration.
No.
Us as well, like we were thinking, come on, like, oh, this has been so good, we want to keep it going. So I think both teams in general haven't felt that sort of, I guess, that the hunger for the Ashes has been fulfilled, really.
Yeah. Hey, well, it sets it up nicely for next time around when you'll be steaming in bowling rockets. Definitely.
I'll certainly be trying.
Good man. One thing I wonder whether you'll be doing or not, though, Woody, is Greg, you mentioned Barmy Bingo earlier. Me and Greg, you've said, like, who's your dream host for Barmy Bingo? Like, and it always comes back to you. You would absolutely lap it up. So one day, maybe on your swan song, can you come and host a Barmy Bingo for us?
Absolutely. I'll come any time you want us, lads. I'll be there.
That'd be class. You'd actually love it as well. I think you would really quite enjoy it. Particularly since your song, the Shake It Up Woody song, just seems to drag the evening on. A bit longer and longer because people just sing it ad infinitum. So that's it.
When I get back to me, Mark, sometimes I rush trying to get back to that. and I think, like, quick, I've got to turn, run. so it depends. Sometimes I think it's sometimes if I'm close to me, Mark, it's shake it up. And then if I'm miles away, it's is that, like, hurry up. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get back, the lads are Stokes is like, what do you think about this field? I'm like, no, the song, man. I've got to get back.
It's absolutely right. We'll try and time it better next time.
Woody, we've kept you for long enough, mate. Thanks so much for talking to us. Great to talk to you. We'll see you soon. Enjoy your rest period, if there is such a thing.
Thanks, legends. Thanks for all the support. Been
top, man.
Podcast Network.